the guys. He doesn't try to be the center of attention. He doesn't try to be, hey, look at me type thing. He doesn't try to be that jokester in the room. He just does his thing quietly, goes along with the guys. You're always, it's not as if he's left out of the group. You know, you see him together with the ton of them all the time, so he fits in that way. You talk to the guys that, you know, are with him every day, they're like, he's a smart kid. He knows what he wants to do, but he has a knack of leaving the game at the rink. That's going to help him down the road, and a lot of guys can't do that. That when the practice is over, when the game's over, he'll walk out of the rink and go on to with what he's got to go on with and not carry that away from him. It doesn't, you know, wear him down. He doesn't worry about it if he gave up a goal, had a tough night. Okay, that's part's over. Let's move on to the next one. And over time, that can wear on you, especially a young kid. And you watch this guy, it doesn't seem to bother him. He just kind of watches it away and moves on.
That's Rob Race. Some of his comments on Rasmus Dahlin yesterday when Rob was on with Schopen the Bulldog before the game in Pittsburgh last night. I thought that was really interesting. He had a rough game in Winnipeg and bounced back and played probably his best game the next night in Minnesota. And he had a rough night last night, but he seems somewhat unflappable. And he had a fantastic move last night that, unfortunately, wasn't able to finish, but would have been like one of the more highlight reel goals of the season. I like to see that in a kid who's that young, that he doesn't let down games, down shifts, down periods, whatever, get to him. I thought that was an interesting observation from Rob, who's around this team all the time, watching them from home game to road game. Hey, the Sabres won 6 straight wins. And we're talking about it with you this morning, 803-0550 to join us. Quick heads up before we get back into calls, just a note. Winter weather is coming our way. So our sister station has all the details, WBEN.com, WBEN 930 AM. Like northern area, I think we're talking like 3 to 5 inches of snow.
When's this tonight?
From 1 AM tonight to 10 AM tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So overnight snow. But Thursday, for those of you who will be
running the
turkey trotting,
oh God, hit me.
Possible record low cold temperatures Thursday. So just a heads up.
That's not good.
So maybe
that means I'm going to have to spend 20 minutes rifling through all of the closets and trying to find Under Armour heat wear and fleeces and fleece pants.
Face cover, too.
I got to find all that stuff. It's going to be like going skiing.
Yeah, record cold weather.
Great. So we know what's getting eliminated first in Thanksgiving Survivor tomorrow,
the
right?
Turkey trot.
Cold weather.
I will say that for Thanksgiving Survivor, we're going to have a couple of new guests at the table. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
I was putting together the list yesterday.
I am not voting off the Sabres. Thanksgiving.
They're going to be in there.
Okay.
A couple of new Sabres might be in there as well.
Okay. Very good.
We also had somebody texted in the first segment. You were talking about how you had these thoughts in the shower about the Sabres.
I was thinking about the playoff math.
New segment.
Sad.
Well. Shower thoughts with Howard. Ready? You ready for the name? The name of the segment. This is a texter that deserves all the credit in the world. Showered Simon.
I've got to be honest. I've got to find a new job.
I love it.
Do you really?
You just have to agree
people?
To have enough shower thoughts for the end of the segment.
I have shower thoughts
showered
every day.
Showered Simon.
I'm always thinking about the show.
It's going to be brought to you by some sort of like bathroom place.
Yeah, sure.
Now it's time for Showered Simon.
Brought to you by Joe's Bathroom.
Yep.
I think about the show every day in the shower. Yeah, I mean, like, what are we talking about? What points do I want to make? So, yeah, I was doing I'm in the shower, washing up, going, okay, if they get 70, they got 121 possible points left, right? 22. 61 games, 122 points. If they get half, they're at 89. So you just got to play a little over 500 hockey because in the 5 years of the current format, the second wild card has been a low of 93, and a high of 98, okay? So it's in that 93 to 98 range. So we're talking a little over 500 hockey should get the Sabres in that mid-90-point range.
Sure.
Thought that while I was, getting clean.
Well, according to Sports Club stats, as of about a week ago, 93 points was more likely to get in than not.
Good deal.
So, listen, a lot of the stuff about listening to, we're talking to Brian Koziol, our Sabres postgame host, about how they have belief and how they think they can come back. And I think that comes down to one thing. They have more talent.
Yeah, right. They know they can
win games. Their goalie is better. Their defense is better. Their forwards are better. They have improved. They score goals. Why do they think they can come back where last year they didn't? Last year they couldn't score.
Right. Last year you knew if the other team got the three. You're probably cooked because you can't get beyond two.
Right, and
most
you might
nights.
Say that that's a mentality that creeped in. I think it feeds itself when you know you can score goals.
Right.
You believe you can score goals, and when you can't score goals, you probably think that you can't score goals.
The Chiefs were down last night when I turned into the game. Right, it's 40-30. in the third quarter. And the Chiefs are probably sitting there going,
it's 10 not
points.
Over.
Are you kidding? Right. And they end up taking the lead, actually, before they end up losing the game. But when you know you can score, you don't worry as much about being behind. You're confident that you have the firepower to do this, right? What are we sitting here talking about? Look at this six-game win streak. They came from behind, one goal against Montreal, right? Two goals against Vancouver, two goals against Minnesota, three goals against Pittsburgh. What am I missing? Winnipeg. They were down one goal, I think, in Winnipeg. Well, yeah, I mean, they probably believe they can come back and win these games because they think, well, we can get to three, we can get to four, we can get to five.
Last year, they were the lowest scoring team in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a surprise to me that they didn't believe that they could score because it's true, they couldn't score. They were the worst scoring team in the league. And where are they right now? Maybe like middle of the pack is my guess. Middle of the pack in goals for, middle of the pack in goals against. Yeah, I mean, it's fun to watch a team that's not out of it because that means goals can come. And, you know, last night's game at 4-4, you said this. If they had lost last night's game, it would have been disappointing because 10 out of 10 entertainment value would have been spoiled at the very end. You know, you don't like the ending to the show.
Right.
But it was a 10 out of 10 for entertainment value.
Great game, yeah. Great game. So much fun. Some highlight reel goals, odd man rushes, big saves. It was so much. I mean, believe me, I'm much happier that they won the game. But it's in terms of just value of Sabre games, for how many years have we talked about? You go to the game and it's dead in the building. You watch the game or listen to the game and you're almost emotionless. You're lifeless. Like you're going through the motions because you're a Sabres fan. You feel like, well, I got to listen to the game. I got to watch the game. It's my team. But you just kind of sit there with your chin in the palm of your hand going, wow, this is really bad. I mean, these games this year, granted, they're winning. It's much more fun. They are playing exciting hockey because you know they can score. Goals for per game.
12th.
Okay, I had them at 17.
Oh, well, just goals for.
Goals for, right, not total goals. Right. Goals per game.
They're 12th.
Correct, yeah. If you do the average per game, it's 17. So, again, middle of the pack. That's where they are with most of the stats. 803-0550. We're going to get some calls here. I tweeted out with the Sabres right now. I am blank, giving you a chance to complete the sentence. Steve tweeted in, starting to believe. Hats off to Bottrell. In one off season, that losing feeling is gone, and there's lots of talent in Rochester waiting for a call-up. Joe tweeted in, really happy, but looking forward to that even higher level we all think they can go to. Let's get to Steve in Boston. Thanks for holding on. You're on WGR. Go right ahead. Hello, Steve.
How are you doing, buddy?
Oh, there we go. Yes, we're good. Thank you.
I don't want to sound like Mr. Negative here, because I'm not. I'm very happy with the Sabres season so far. Howard, I'm 53 years old. I grew up all my life in this city. I saw the OJ days, Joe Bear Pearl days, and I'm very happy with the way they're playing right now. But I'm a little nervous.
Because?
About what?
Well, you know, you get excited. You always get excited about your team, then you're afraid.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got maybe three or four tweets in the same thing. Like, you know, it's the whole, like, I want to be excited, but I don't want my hopes crushed. I'm excited. Just enjoy it. Jump in, Steve. This is sports, man. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. But, I mean, if you don't enjoy moments like this, you're going to be miserable as a sportsman.
Well, that's the thing. I think you should also have your expectations. You decide where they are. I mean, if you think they're going to win the Stanley Cup, you might come away disappointed this year. But if you would be beyond thrilled with a playoff berth and continued growth from guys like Mittelstadt and Dahlin and, you know, just watching the team kind of find its way to what could be and should be a long period of your players are young.
Right.
The Sabres should be a team that can be good for 7 years here and have a window where there are multiple playoff appearances. And we don't talk about, like, the last two times they made it 2 years and then disappeared for a while.
Yeah.
And then 2 years and disappeared for a while. You know, this could be, if you build it right, and if Jason Bottrell builds it right, which, you know, things look pretty good right now. Rochester's playing well. Mm-hmm. He has actually stockpiled three first-round draft picks. You know, you decide what your expectation is. I'm not in Stanley Cup or bust by any stretch.
No.
And maybe next year you get closer to that. You know, the 05-06 season, one of the fun parts of that was watching them be a good team. And I don't know, when did we ever think that team was possible cup contender? Maybe not even until they were playing the Ottawa Senators. Mm-hmm. You know, you go into that playoff series with, boy, Ottawa's a machine. And then they beat Ottawa, and it becomes,
they can do this.
Oh, right. My God.
Right.
They're in this thing. You know, maybe you felt that way during the regular season. We probably did because they were very, very good. 06-07 was Stanley Cup or bust.
It was different, right. Yeah, going into the season, it was
right.
different.
Right? Stanley Cup or bust. For this year, for the Sabres, I mean, I don't even want to put a real defined expectation. It's just keep doing this.
Yep.
Keep seeing Rasmus Dahlin look like he's going to be a game changer. Keep showing me a bad game from him. And you win anyway because you've got enough horses there. Last night's game was maybe my favorite win of the road trip because I do think they were the better team. Well, I don't know. Is that Hutton had to make so many good saves. I mean, that's a part of it.
But I thought after the first period they were the better of the team.
Sure.
And they were dominating the third period.
They could have been down 7-1.
Yeah.
But they weren't.
At least, right. There were a couple real beauty saves he made after they got to 4. Look, to the last call, I hear you, Steve, it was, right? I'm looking up. You give us that call. I'm going through my notifications 5 minutes ago. Got a tweet. Trying not to get too excited for fear they're just teasing us. I get it. You know, I got a couple tweets about it's Buffalo. Our teams get our hopes up and then they crush us. But hey, man, it's sports. It happens sometimes. I'm not sitting here this morning. I was not showering thinking Stanley Cup. But as I said, for the first time this morning, I started thinking playoffs. You know, I came in and looked at the second wild card point total under the new format, the last 5 years. What did it take to get in the postseason in the East in a wild card spot? What did the Sabres have now? How many percent of points would they have to gain the rest of the season to get to the mid-90s? So the way they're playing, the goaltending has been solid. You know, sure, is it perfect? No, of course not. They're playing bad first periods. They're not playing 60 minutes, but they're winning hockey games, and they can score, and they can come from behind, and the defensemen are scoring, and there's an element. I mean, this team can handle adversity, and now you're seeing other guys. You brought up Mittelstadt. Look at Mittelstadt from October to November. You know, he looked like a guy who was just, I got to make sure my defensive zone play is good and wasn't thinking about offense. Now he's contributing offensively. That was a beautiful goal last night. He's got some really nice chemistry, quite honestly, with Oposo and Sherry going right now. So there are a variety of options in offense. They don't just rely on a power play. They don't just rely on Skinner. Hey, they won back-to-back games, and Skinner didn't score a goal. Or did he? No, he didn't score in Minnesota,
right? He did not, know.
So they won back-to-back games without their leading goal scorer scoring a goal. So you can go ahead and let your guard down. Sure, they might not win the cup. Maybe they blow this and don't make the playoffs. But if you don't enjoy the ride, what's the point? I mean, you've got to enjoy what's going on here or else you're just denying yourself as a sports fan the moment. So go ahead and have fun with it.
Fred writes in via Twitter, remember, they have had no injuries. Yep. That's a good point to make.
I know. I thought about that last night.
Scandella might be their first, yeah. And I don't know how much that would really hurt them if Pilot comes up. Or
you put Beaulieu in or sure. You bring up Pilot. It's not – right. You know what? I'm not even going to mention names.
You watched the Scandella play in slow-mo?
Yeah. The shot block and then the stick
and the
coming
stick
back.
Hit.
Yeah.
Did you think there was any intent on the stick swing?
No. I thought he was losing his balance and going down, and he did the old – you know, roundhouse swing with the stick. No, I don't think he had intent.
Okay.
I went back and watched the replay because I couldn't figure out why both guys were down. I thought maybe they butted heads. So I went back and watched the replay, and I think he blocks the shot. He's in pain. He goes down. I don't think he consciously thought, hey, while I'm going down, maybe I'm wrong. I'm going to swing the stick around in like a full circle and hit him in the head. You thought there was?
I don't know.
Okay. I didn't think there was.
The stick whip?
Yeah, it comes all the way around.
It's
I know.
Pretty pronounced.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he's flailing because he's hurt, yeah. Which it looked like he was hurt. So I'm not going to tell you he did it on purpose at all.
I didn't think he did.
I watched it a bunch of times trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see. I don't anticipate the Department of Player Safety calling him.
Right.
But, you know, hockey players are good at
hiding,
taking yeah, right. a shot
yes.
when they're...
They can hide cheap shots.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, they're very good at it. I'll look at it again. I looked at it once and I just thought the way he was in pain, he's going down and he, you know, kind of whipped it around. I didn't think there was intent. Could be wrong, but I didn't think it last night. Let's go to Randall next in Blaisdell. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Jeremy, Shot of Krupnik will take care of that cold for you during the turkey trot. You're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting all these tips from marathon runners. I've run it before. It's just that cold is going to be not fun.
Yeah, you'll be huddled together, you know, among the masses. And once you get the blood flowing, you're going to be great.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Do you see with the with Jack and just how he's performing right now? Do you see him being utilized more as a setup man going forward? And I'm more happy talking about the Sabres than the Bills for once. So you know, I just think that Jack looks good in the role he's in right now. Just what are your thoughts on him looking at more as being a setup man?
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. You know, there were years here he had to be the guy that scored and shot the puck because they didn't have anybody else really to do it, maybe Evander Kane. But I don't have any issue if Jack Eichel becomes a scores 20 and assists on 70. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how anybody could. You know, yesterday we had somebody texting in that was trying to make the case that unless Jack Eichel's top five in goals, he's a waste of money. I'm sorry, I just don't know how you get there. Think about the Bogosian goal, right? The play that makes it 4-2. We talk about primary assists a lot. That play by Bogosian, that goal that Skinner assists on, that comes on Eichel getting a secondary assist by forcing a turnover.
Yeah,
I think he has been much better going in and battling and trying to get the puck off the wall. There's a play, maybe in the first minute of the game, second minute of the game, where Hutton makes a great save on a one-timer by Gensel. It came to him wide open, and Gensel just rips it on. It might have been Gensel. Anyway, on that play, Eichel and Malkin are battling hard in the corner. And, you know, you see Jack pretty committed to it. The puck ends up ricocheting out for a scoring chance.
Was Pearson.
Pearson, okay.
Eichel was battling with Malkin, and he stopped Pearson on a one-timer.
Sure. Yeah. And, like, seeing that play, I don't know, maybe you don't see Jack that engaged in the corner in years past. So I think his game is fine. He's probably not at his zenith perfect best right now, but he's got 24 points in 21 games, and if you have a point-per-game player, you just don't care how the points come.
He is.
It's the same thing as complaining about a streaky score. Like, oh, 37 goals, but it was a streaky 37. 37 and 37.
Yeah.
Point per game is point per game.
Yeah, he's got 24 in 21 games. Now, if you look at it, now last 2 years he didn't play a full season, but if you go back to his rookie year, he played 81 games. He's on pace for about 80 more shots. He's shooting the puck. He's just not scoring.
Well, he scored last night.
Right, but his shooting percentage is still only at 5.8.
Yeah.
His first full year, he had a 10.1, then 9.6, 10.2. If he's at his career numbers, he's got 8 goals, and that's a 30-goal pace. So, you know, and look, and at, you know, with his assists, he's on pace for like almost 80 assists right now. So I think, and for those of you that have been complaining about his two-way game, he's back checking, he's skating back hard, he's breaking plays up. I think everything's fine. But I agree, he was incredibly happy to score that goal last night. I think he felt some pressure.
Sam in Harrisburg texts in, does this Sabres team remind you at all of the Bills' first half last season? They're winning games, but not in a way that seems sustainable. No, but I don't disagree with the point, which is I don't think they're going to finish fourth in the NHL. How's that, right? Is the way they play sustainable to finish with the fourth best record? I don't think so.
Well, you don't want to keep having to come from behind.
And you also don't want your goalies to have to make that many grade A saves the way that Hutton has.
Yeah.
However, we've kind of charted, even before the 6-game win streak, the way they were playing looks like a team that will be in the mix. Their numbers are sustainable to be a legitimate playoff team.
Right.
I don't think they'll finish fourth. All right. I don't know if they'll finish third in the division, but what they've done, and what they do is they score at even strength reasonably well. And that, to me, says they can sustain and they can. It won't surprise me if they have a 3-4-game losing streak this year that kind of offsets this. You know, you got to stay above 500. You're going to try and make the playoffs, keep everybody engaged, maybe get a home ice advantage back. You know, like that could be a part of this. Shootouts make a difference. They're good in shootouts now. They have now 2 overtime wins. There have been years where they were terrible in getting that extra point that will matter. So
they're 7-0-2 in one goal games. Yeah. Last year they were terrible in one goal.
So
games.
At some point they'll go from 7-0-2 to 8-4-2 in one goal games. They're gonna lose games along the way. Is it sustainable? I think for the playoffs, yes. I think for the top 4 in the NHL, probably not.
I think that the whole sustainable, I'll say this quick because I know we got to get to the break. The last 3 games to me are different. I think if we're having this discussion, is this sustainable, the morning after the Tampa game, we would say, no way. You can't keep playing this way. The Tampa game, to me, was holding on for dear life. The last 3 games were bad first periods and then much better in the second and the better team in the third. Really, look at the Winnipeg, Minnesota, and Pittsburgh games are all really quite similar. They came out, stunk out the joint, fell behind, played better in the second, were the dominant team in the third, and won the hockey game. So it's not like the last 3 games, even though they were playing from behind, they were getting outshot, outchanced, dominated in possession time, and hung on for dear life. That was Tampa. The last 3 games, look at it. They were the better team than Pittsburgh for 40 minutes last night, for sure in the third. They were better than Minnesota in the third period with that game there for the taking. And they really, I think they evened up with Winnipeg. Maybe they weren't the better team, but after getting looked, you know, like they were going to get run out of the building in the first, they even things up in the second and third, and then they end up winning in the shootout. So I don't think the whole, is this sustainable? Yeah, you don't want to play from behind all the time. But they're not playing bad hockey in these last three games. They're playing good hockey with a lousy first period and then having to dig out from that hole. 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. We've got folks on hold. Hang on. Got an open segment coming up. Normally, Phil Housley with us Tuesdays at 7:30. Getting in from Pittsburgh last night, the Sabres asked if we could give him a little extra time this morning, so we're glad to accommodate. Phil will be on at 8:30.
Only
so,
because of the six-game winning streak.
If they lost, he would have said, actually, we're going to move up to 6:30. Yeah, he's going to have to get less sleep. So hang on to your spot there on the phone lines, because we want to get all your comments in. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
Time to hear from the locker room and the Sabres after their win in Pittsburgh, a 5-4 overtime decision. Down 4-1, the comeback starts with a goal from Zach Bogosian, then one from Casey Nelson, defenseman scoring. Connor Sherry in front there, by the way, making his return to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And then Casey Mittelstadt, the equalizer in the third.
Me being me, my first thought was, who can I pass to? So I looked up Shears' back door, but I think the D-man was like down on the knee right in front of him. So just kind of looked up and shot where I saw opening, I think. And I got lucky, I guess, and went in, so it was good.
4-4 to overtime, where it took just 45 seconds, a 2-on-1, Jack Eichel and Connor Sherry, and Eichel gets the game winner for the Sabres' sixth consecutive win.
I think it's a trust and it's a belief in each other. You look around the room, I think the guys are believing, you know, that next line's going to get the job done and set you up for your shift, and we're a pretty tight bunch right now for how many new guys have come into this team, and I think, you know, we're getting really close right now, and we're doing it for each other, and I think that's the biggest thing. I think everyone goes out there, just doesn't want to let the guy next to them down, and you see it tonight. I mean, you see it on a, you know, Scandella shot block, or, I mean, some of the guys lying in the body. I mean, you know, we're playing for each other right now, and I think that that's one of the most important things.
Sabres Locker Room Audio brought to you by Steve Foley Law. Settle for more today with Steve Foley. Call 249-2222. Your headlines topped by the Sabres. Win number six in a row. Down 4-1, 5 minutes into the second period. They come back. Eichel gets the game winner in overtime. Tage Thompson first of the year.
Mittelstadt is third. Nelson is
He didn't get
first.
Lucky, by the way.
No.
That was a heck of a shot.
Heck of a shot.
Beautiful shot.
The Blues fire their coach, Mike Yeo. So Craig Berube takes over for the disappointing St. Louis Blues there.
Hey, Ryan O'Reilly, he's leading them in goals and points. He's
yeah.
got 10 goals and 23 points this season.
And they're losing.
Yeah, they're under 500.
Very strange.
The Leafs won, the Lightning lost, the Canadiens lost, the Panthers won.
Rams 54-51 over the Chiefs.
It was fun.
14 touchdowns in that game.
We need the Chiefs against either the Rams or the Saints in the Super Bowl.
A few people pointed out to me that game featured 14 touchdowns. The Bills have 13. 54-51, the Rams are 10-1. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs are 9-2. Bills injury news. Derek Anderson still in concussion protocol. Charles Clay is still did not practice because of a hamstring. Josh Allen looks like he's going to be good to go Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. UB, I said debuts in the top 25. Second. They were already there.
Yeah,
they moved up to 22. In the
Should stay there. Dartmouth and Marist this week, they would be favored to win both those home games.
Those are your sports headlines. Next update on the way at the top of the hour.
Headlines brought to you by AccountTemps. Finding highly skilled accounting and finance professionals can be a challenge. AccountTemps can help. With AccountTemps' extensive network of accounting and finance contractors, you can be sure to find the right person for your exact hiring needs. Visit AccountTemps.com to learn more. AccountTemps, a Robert Half company.
One other quick headline I'll add. The Turkey Trot on Thursday, the T-shirts, I like them this year. Nice shirt.
So it's a good uniform.
It's a
update,
good
so
it's a
speak.
Good Turkey Trot T-shirt this year. Sometimes they're
is
great.
Is there always a turkey in some way, shape,
no,
or form?
There's not a turkey on this
oh,
at all.
Okay.
There's not a turkey. There's a buffalo.
Oh, okay.
Obviously.
Very good.
But yeah, good shirts this year.
A buffalo running over a turkey.
Sure.
Trot, buffalo, turkey. I'm just trying to work in all the elements. We can get to some calls here because people want to join in on the discussion on the Sabres. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. I just wanted to double check one thing. I got to look this up while I get a call. Someone tweeted in their point pace. I think that's right. 108 point pace now.
This is what a 108 point team looks like. I mean, seriously. Like,
no, they're on 108 point pace.
I don't say because it means they're going to get there, but it is, hey, if you know a 108 point team, that's what this looks like.
Hmm. Let's see. Where did we leave off? Eddie in Cheektowaga. Thanks for holding on. You're on WGR.
Howard, Jeremy, good to hear you guys. Yep, these are the ups and downs. just let everyone know there's still a couple seats left on the bus. It's going to get pretty heavy soon. But no, I wanted to get to the point where Jeremy actually made it about 20 minutes ago. For me, the turning point in the game, but, you know, for all these games, it's really the same. But when Jack took out Hornquist, I think it was, on the backboards, that's a physical play. It's a play made only with a player with speed enough to get there, and that was the second goal where Bogosian came in.
Yeah, popped the free puck, and Skinner grabbed it, I think.
Right. I mean, if you go back to summer, July, and someone told you, yeah, well, we're going to have Jeff Skinner. He's going to be, like, second in the league in goal scoring, and Bogosian's going to be, like, a number three defenseman, and they think you're crazy, okay? But this is sports. But what I like about the team is I know Jack's been suffering lately because he does like to score goals, so suffering, put it in quotes, because, you know, but he doesn't really care as much about that. You can tell. He's more about the team's success and winning rather than individual stats and whatnot. Yeah. You know, that brings it back to my childhood hero, which is Perreault. He can go end-to-end and score if you want him to, or he can set up Rick Martin and, you know, all day. You know, it's just that's the way I think these guys play together for each other, and that's what I love about him.
One thing I always wondered about Eichel here, you know, the first three seasons didn't go too well. His first year, they're a respectable team, and then two really disappointing years. One got Dan Bylsma fired, and the other was last year. And the thing I've always wondered about Eichel is, what will he be like in the midst of a playoff run or a playoff series? Because, sure, every professional athlete you're going to want to buy in, but when you get caught up in the day-to-day of it, you know, think about the way that you feel about tomorrow night's game. Mm-hmm. Does the team feel that way about tomorrow night's game? Whereas if you're in last place, I mean, not to pin it on Ryan O'Reilly syndrome, but Ryan O'Reilly was...
I know. Someone tweeted this morning.
Relentlessly.
About how he lost the love for the game.
Again, that's the losing. Yeah, losing can make you lose love for the game. And I think that was a very honest thing to say, and I never had a problem that O'Reilly said that.
Well, I think Ristolainen's brought up the fact that the last few years has done this.
Taylor Hall said it when he was in Edmonton, that he forgot what it was like to even win. Mm-hmm. So there might be a little bit of that here. And some of the guys that have been around for a while getting caught up in, and check it out, we're winning, and maybe you kind of just buy in that little bit more, and you get a little bit better on the wall if you're Jack Eichel. You kind of expand elements to your game. I think he's been, he's been like highlight reel Jack that we've normally seen, but it's a different version of him, and if he wants to be the guy, I've said it a bunch of times, if he wants to put up the Joe Thornton numbers where it's you're the pivot, right? You're the playmaker,
right,
more than the finisher, fine.
Whatever, you're winning.
He's got guys to finish with him now.
I think it's funny, the caller brought this up. I have spent time after wins this season watching Eichel specifically in the celebration because he's wearing the C. He got the big contract, right? There's a lot of pressure on him. As Jeremy said, he's known nothing but losing around here, injury-shortened seasons a couple times. You know, and here's a kid who, what, 1 year in college, and they were in the national championship game. So I have been watching him, and I got a sense after some of the wins, you could just see the joy on his face. I think last night's different because he scores the goal that wins the game. But I did think about him and how much winning means because of what he has been through in his brief Sabres career. It's nothing but misery to this point. Coach fired, GM fired, locker room's a mess, the culture's bad, all this stuff going on.
Never seen a really jacked up fan base.
The buildings are dead. Way. Right. And so I've been watching him after wins this season, and I'm telling you, yeah, I the thought crossed my mind that he's got to be so happy because I thought, you know, if I'm him and I'm signing the long-term contract, is he thinking, God, I hope we win at some point in this deal because I do not want to be around this forever. And I think he is absolutely thoroughly enjoying this. I don't think he was freaking out over the no goals, but sure, he looked very happy.
I was
to be
happy
the guy to score the goal last
weren't
night.
You?
Yeah. Oh, I was just glad to see them score and win the hockey game. That puck trickled over the line. I was yelling and screaming. Ron and Cheektowaga, you're up next here on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Ron.
I'm call. Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Ron.
First-time caller, long-time listener. What about Jeff Skinner? Are they going to sign him, or are they going to let him walk away? Or you think they should sign him for what he's worth?
I think they will try to sign him, but it will be up to him. I'm glad you brought this up, Ron. Okay, so yesterday, I tweeted that my super secret Sabres source has told me, like, I'm hearing Skinner's looking for 8 years, $9 to $9.5 million to keep him from going to the market. So I tweeted that. That made it to the NHL Network.
Oh, wow.
That made it to TSN.
Oh, wow.
It made it to Barstool. Like, I got a bunch of screenshots from people like, look where your tweet went. TSN actually cut out the part where I said where I got it from, which is my super secret. So it just had my name on it.
That's
saying
funny.
Skinner looking for 8 years, $9.5 million. Now, a couple things I've learned a lesson
if
here.
They're researching what a super secret
source is. Well, that's the thing.
Is.
First off, if you listen to this show, you know what that means. We talk about
You're
this guy all
stuff.
The time.
Right.
This guy is plugged in and has never really been wrong about the Sabres. I like to give this information without saying, I'm reporting that this is what is fact. So I think what happens is people don't listen to the show and don't know how openly we talk about. There's a guy on Twitter who sends me messages, and he's plugged into the team, and he's not ever wrong. He put that out there to me. It's like, hey, I'm hearing that's what Skinner's looking for. A couple things happened. One, it's not like, first off, I didn't make it up to the doofs that think I made that up. Number two, it doesn't mean Jeff Skinner is take it or leave it 8 years, $9.5 million. He was on a 58-goal pace. Of course, his agent might say, hey, the buy-it-now price is 9.5 a year.
Mm-hmm.
There will be negotiations. So if anybody said, forget it, walk away from that, relax a minute. The Sabres will say 7,
maybe
Skinner will say 9,
maybe
and they'll try to meet at 8,
right.
Maybe.
Right.
Will they try to sign him? Yes, they will. Does he want to be here? Keep winning, right?
Yeah.
Make him believe that this is a chance to win a Stanley Cup, not only to get paid very well, but to win a Stanley Cup. That's probably what Jeff Skinner's going to be looking for. It does check a lot of boxes for him. It's a young core. It's close to home. The money will be there. When we talked to him, what was it, last week?
Yeah.
Didn't you get the feeling that
he seemed very happy?
Sure, that this could absolutely fit what he's looking for a long-term answer. There's no chance they're trading him at the deadline.
Oh, my.
No chance.
You might have you to
are,
usher Boffel
you are
out of
hoping
town if he did that.
Someone brought it up. The rental you get is the rental. He's already your rental. You got a full year rental.
Yeah.
And hopefully you can convince him to stay. He's worth staying. Here's your stat of the day. Brayton, you ready with the stat of the day? Stats. Stat of the day on Jeff Skinner. Because another thing happened after I tweeted out the numbers about what Skinner is maybe looking for today. Which, again, doesn't mean it's like a formal contract offer. Your stat of the day on Jeff Skinner. Is this. I got to scroll down and find it. Since the start of the 2014-15 season, even strength goal scorers, most even strength goals since 2015-16.
Okay.
Number one, Patrick Kane, 89. Number two, Vladimir Tarasenko, 87. Number three, Alex Ovechkin, 86. Number four, Jeff Skinner,
wow.
85. So, to the folks that tweeted in and texted me back about that contract thing, I think he's more of a $6 million player. You're out of your mind. He is 26. Wow. JVR got what?
Seven.
Seven a year. And he was
he got 5 years, $35 million.
And he was 29 years old.
Yeah. So
Jeff Skinner
he got less than Kane.
Jeff Skinner is 26.
Right.
He is young. He is productive. More even strength goals than Marchand and Crosby.
Look at the Kane deal, all right? Look at the Kane deal. 7 years, $49 million. I think that's where it starts at Skinner.
For sure. It probably ends up eight, maybe a little north of eight.
Yeah, hopefully not nine.
And I think the Sabres will want in on that.
Yeah.
And that's all. So, on the report from yesterday, a little bit of context listening to this show. So, anyway.
All right, well, let's get a quick break in. We'll get some more calls in, too. Want to hear your thoughts on the Sabres, the win last night, the win streak, the season. 803-0550 to join us. When it comes to the Sabres right now, you are what? Blank. You can fill in the sentence. Complete the sentence. You are what? 803-0550. Grab a line. Join us. Phil Housley at 830 on WGR.
That even our number one overall pick, 18 years old, is not even that fast. Casey Middlestad is not that fast. The only guys that are fast, I would say, are Eichel, Skinner, and Sheary. Everybody else is a freaking turtle up front. I mean, it's terrible. But they're still winning because we got the goalie that's like the MVP in the league at the moment. Jesus. we're going to have to get some more speed. This is ridiculous. Reinhardt, Pominville, Oposo. He's like the Battle of the Turtles. Mittelstadt is like, we call him Middle Fat here because he's...
Sounds like a great place to hang out. We call him Middle Fat. This is my sports bar called Sick Burns. Come on in, hang out. What was I going to say? We need some Swedish House Mafia today.
Yeah, who's that again?
Well, then again, a Swede didn't score yesterday, right? No Swedes? Thompson, Bogosian, Nelson, Mittelstadt, Eichel, no. Team America. Right? Is that five Americans? Where's Casey Nelson?
Bogosian, Messina. Where's Thompson from?
Thompson is American. I believe
Casey Nelson's American. Team America,
goals. There's your stat of the day.
Five American even strength goals for the
USA.
The Buffalo Sabres.
I'm thinking of a song that I could play for that, but I don't think that's appropriate for on air.
All right. He's...
Don't tell me.
Team America World Police song, right? That one?
Yes.
Five American goal scorers. Not that it makes any difference. We'll play the...
I'll do
Swedish
a quick,
House Mafia some other day.
I'll do a quick whine today.
You're going to whine.
NFL schedule makers. You know, they flexed the Bears game this past Sunday to a night game.
Okay.
And the Bears are playing Thursday at 1 o'clock or 12:30 in Detroit. It's not, I mean, it's only a few hours. I don't think you make a team play Sunday night and then turn around and play a Thursday afternoon game on the road.
Oh. They flexed them.
They flexed them into the night game, knowing they had a Thursday 12 noon game in Detroit. That's just... The extra hours could make a difference. You just let them play a 1 o'clock game. They're on a short week. Why put them into a night game? Bad move by the NFL. Anyway, go ahead. What do you got? Are you in any,
something to whine about?
Is anything to whine about?
What could I whine about?
Sabres, bad first periods. Playoff format?
No.
Playoff form will become a big thing here if this does continue, by the way.
That's terrible.
It hasn't been here because we've never had to... We've talked about other teams facing the injustice of the stupid playoff format. We've never really cared here because it didn't factor at all into the Sabres the last few years, 5 years. It'll become more of a factor as it goes on. I did get somebody who tweeted... somebody was on hold. They didn't hang on, unfortunately. But I got a tweet about this, too, about how they'd be all in for a Sabres-Toronto playoff series.
You give me any playoff series.
You're all in?
It's going to be...
A playoff
series. Well, more than likely, if the Sabres were to make the playoffs, look at the division. You'll probably play, if you're the 3 seed, you play the 2 seed. And if you're a wild card, you know, depending on... I guess you could play the leader in the other division. But the chances are you play in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what do I have to whine about? What do I have to... I don't know. I'm happy.
All right, that's good. When we get back, we will talk more about last night's come-from-behind win. Carter Hutton with a really great performance in goal on a night when he gave up 4 goals. Jack Eichel, Casey Mittelstadt, defenseman scoring. We'll break down last night's win and the win streak and what's going on here. Also, continuing to get your calls in and read in some of your tweets. I tweeted out with the Sabres right now. I am... What? Fill in the blank. Jeff tweeted in, cautiously optimistic, but after last night's win, I'm maybe a bit foolishly excited for this team. They're so much fun to watch right now. You can share your thoughts, too, at 803-0550. Phil Housley will join us at 8:30 on WGR.